Hi, I'm Nick Gillespie for Reason TV. Today I'm talking to Timothy P. Carney, the author of Obamanomics, How Barack Obama is Bankrupting You and Enriching His Wall Street Friends, Corporate Lobbyists, and Union Bosses. Tim, thanks for coming.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Let's start off with the title, Obamanomics. I'm pronouncing that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Define Obamanomics for
Obamanomics us. Is expanding the government control over the economy, but doing it in concert with business. In other words, people like to throw around the word communist for Obama, but he's not killing businesses. He's saying, look, if you're willing to play the green energy game, you'll get subsidized, you'll get kept alive. We'll regulate you, but we'll also bail you out and give you handouts. And so he's delivering on more government control over the economy that he promised, but he also promised to kill the special interests. And my argument is he's not doing that.
Right.
Big government is propping up the special interests.
How is that in the book, and I think I know the answer to this, but is this a continuation of Bush policies, or is it a 180-degree
turn? No, it is. Yeah. It is. Bush handed him the keys to the bulldozer, and he's shifted into the next gear. Without the $700 billion bailout, would he really have gotten away with a $787 billion stimulus bill? No, he wouldn't have.
And in the foreword by Ron Paul, the congressman who ran for president, both as a libertarian back in 1988 and then again in 2008, the term corporatism comes up. What we're seeing here is really corporatism, not capitalism and not socialism.
Exactly. You look at the global warming policies. There's a liberal way to do this. A left-wing socialist way to do that, but that's not what we're getting. We're getting subsidies if you have the right energy sources, a cap-and-trade system where the right company can get very rich. So profit is still part of it. It's just it's a government calling the shots as to how you profit as opposed to market forces.
You talk about the big myth. What do you mean by the big myth?
The big myth is the idea that big business just wants to be left alone. I mean, a lot of people say there's regulators and then there's business and they're constantly battling. But occasionally reporters will notice, in an interesting twist, Walmart wants this mandate that you buy health insurance for your employers. In another interesting twist, Philip Morris wants regulation of tobacco. And it's not an interesting twist when it keeps happening again.
So, why does big business want big regulation?
Well, I call them the laws of Obamanomics. And one of the first is that when Congress is crafting rules or regulators are crafting the rules, that the lobbyists will get a seat at the table. And who has the lobbyists who really have that seat? It's not mom and pop. It's bigger business. So government intervention gives an opportunity for tweaking the rules. But probably the most basic is the notion that government adds to overhead. It adds to the cost of doing business when there are more regulations and more taxes. And so that has a bigger impact on the smaller business than it does on the big. So Walmart gets new costs if there's new mandates, but those costs fall much heavier on the smaller employers.
So this is when Sarbanes-Oxley, the accounting rule overhaul, came out. It was big business was fine with that. I mean, maybe they weren't fine with it, but they could soak up the extra costs, whereas it would really hurt smaller companies.
And there were some big venture capital funds that got all sorts of great acquisitions from companies that were public and didn't want to be public anymore after Sarbanes-Oxley.
Talk a bit specifically about how the big myth plays out in relation to pharma and healthcare reform.
Oh, yeah. Obama ran for president running an ad beating up Billy Tozan. He was a Democrat, then a Republican in Congress. Now he became the drug industry lobby after helping write a Medicare drug bill that was very favorable to the drug makers. Right. Obama rightly pointed this out as a problem. But then in August, Obama's chief of staff cuts a deal with Tozan in which he promises not to go after, the White House promises not to go after the special favors. The drug bill itself has all sorts of subsidies. The health care bill has subsidies for the drug makers. But Obama makes it sound like he's battling against moneyed interests. Everybody who's on the other side, you're a shill for the health industry.
Here's a question for you. Does capitalism or free markets, all of this corporatism, big government, it all exists. It needs money to fuel itself. And, free markets, I think we agree, would tend to do better. They produce more. They generate more income and hence more taxes.
Yep.
In some way, does capitalism beget corporatism?
This is a Schumpeter argument that when you create a class of people that can do it. But also, capitalism allows some businesses to get big enough to the point where they look out on the capitalist market where, you know, the mightier cast down and the lower lifted up, and they say, we need to protect ourselves from this. And so I wouldn't say it begets it, but it's once you get people getting lots of money and you have a democracy like we have that has the powers it has, then it's going to be really tough to fight.
Well, talk a little bit about, because towards the end of your book, this is not a doom and gloom scenario. Mm-hmm. You're calling attention to things, but then you say there are ways to roll back Obamanomics. What are the ways that we stop this?
Well, one thing that has me hopeful is that now that the Republicans are so far out of power, they're even losing their big business donors. This might allow them to be freed up to kind of get back to limited government roots. And I think that they can use something of a populist message. And I know a lot of libertarians are uneasy with the idea of a populist message.
Although, I mean, you rightly point out, you call for a libertarian populism.
Yeah.
Ron Paul certainly fits that bill in certain ways. So talk a little bit about how a kind of libertarian populism can roll back some of these
problems. Yeah, I just say, look, we are going to undo the bailout. Any money that's not loaned out, we're going to take it back. And any money that's already out there, we're going to speed up when you have to give that back. What position does that put Barack Obama in? Saying, no, we need to send more money over to Wall Street. And with the drug makers, you can do this. Go after some of those deals that the left wants to go after. Mm-hmm. Join forces with them against sort of the corporatists in both parties.
Right.
And say, look, we're going to take away your special favors and drive down prices.
Is that, and this is slightly a different topic, but how important is public outrage in terms of changing laws? Because the TARP bailout was not popular. The auto bailout initially was not popular and is getting less popular. The stimulus is not particularly, people don't think it's helping the economy. Healthcare reform is unpopular. These things seem to just keep going like a steamroller. So does the outrage work, or how do you affect political change?
Well, I think that there's some things. I mean, public outrage could affect healthcare members going back for Christmas. Who knows what they're going to hear. In the House, there's enough vulnerable Democrats, just to talk about the current situation right now, enough vulnerable Democrats that if there's enough opposition, these people will be afraid. So obviously, you look at the bailout, I mean, the Wall Street bailout, that was overwhelming public opposition.
Right.
And it didn't matter. It passed overwhelmingly in both chambers. So it's not an easy game. But and one of the other problems of sort of free market populism is where do you get your money from? Republicans have been raising from AT&T, from big businesses.
Yeah.
But I think Ron Paul shows the answer to that, where once people feel disenfranchised and they see this guy's actually not on the other side, you can raise lots of money in those $50 increments. And Obama, just because he put on that garb, he was able to raise money from regular people because they actually believed he wasn't going to be cozy with the special interests.
So in a way, I mean, what you're calling for is a decentralization of political power that would be similar to a kind of decentralization of a lot of cultural and economic power, I mean, in an internet age, in a more spread out, in a networked place.
Yeah, I think that the models of the Republican and Democratic parties built around these big concentrations of wealth for raising funds, I'm hopeful that that will become less important. And I think both Obama and Ron Paul, their campaigns showed that, what that can do.
Well, I want to thank Timothy P. Carney, author of Obamanomics, How Barack Obama is Bankrupting You and Enriching His Wall Street Friends, Corporate Lobbyists, and Union Bosses, for talking to Reason TV today. I'm Nick Gillespie. Thank you very much, Tim.
Thank you.